You are listening to John Diard's Life Spa, your premier source for health news and Ayurveda, where modern science meets ancient wisdom.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. John Diard. Welcome to the Life Spa podcast. Today, we have a special guest, Logan Wright. He's the founder of Greco Gum. This is the world's first gum. It's been used for about 2,500 years. It's made from the mastic tree. And the benefits of this gum are amazing. And that's what I want to dive into. I've written about this a few years back. And now we have an expert here, the founder of this gum company. And I'm super excited. Logan, welcome. I really love what you're doing with your gum. I've tried many of these mastic gums in the past. And, there's a lot of things that are really cool about the gum is that you have to chew it, which is, we're going to talk about the benefits of that. So it really does give your jaw a workout, which is important. I find that when I chew the mastic gum, I don't feel like I need to ever spit it out. Like regular gum, the sweet goes away and you just kind of want to spit it out. This gum, you can chew it for hours for, I don't know the reason for that. And a lot of the other gums, the mastic gums that I've tried, they either turn into powder and they don't even actually turn into gum, or it takes an hour for it to become gum. And it's just, for most folks, they're just not going to do it. But I think what you created here is a product that kind of solves all those problems. And what I want to talk about, is how you guys started with all this, but also I want to dive into some of the science behind this, because there's a lot of science behind mastic gum that I don't think a lot of people know about. So welcome, Logan. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into mastic gum.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I first got into mastic gum as somebody who spent a decent amount of time in the gym and takes pretty serious consideration into the things that I put into my body. You start to realize, these everyday mundane products that you're using that you don't really think about as being toxic or harmful to you. But once you kind of open up the Pandora's box and start looking at everything around you, you realize you're actually surrounded by poison, and regular chewing gum falls into that category as well. A regular chewing gum is just a concoction of plasticizers, artificial flavorings, sweetenings, colorings, and chemicals. And that's not something that I was interested in. And I always need to be chewing gum when I'm at the gym. So I was looking for healthier alternatives. And again, as somebody who's hangs out in the gym a lot, you start to go down alternative pathways in what's known as bro science. And whereas science typically, anecdotal evidence is at the bottom of the totem pole, with bro science, it's kind of at the top. And what I mean by that is, okay, I will actually try this for myself and see how I feel and what the results are. I'm not going to wait for a paper or somebody in a white coat to tell me how this will or won't affect me. So I had heard, because I'm always looking for, these esoteric supplements or herbs or whatever can give you that 1% edge in the gym. And I had heard about mastic gum from somebody who had been chewing it to work out their jaw muscles. So that piqued my interest and I looked further into that. And I had the exact same experience you did, John, when I first started trying it, was that what you would get, and the quality was very inconsistent, subpar, really a bad experience and hit or miss. But the times that it did hit, it was incredible. And immediately it became a staple in my everyday routine and something I became addicted to. The other thing is that it was very difficult to source. So without really doing too much of a business plan, I realized, well, if I'm looking for this and I had a hard time getting it, then there's probably other people who feel the same way. So that's the business opportunity side of things. And from there, it was a matter of finding a reputable supplier, developing that relationship, and really working closely with them to ensure we're only utilizing the finest pieces to make sure everybody has that same experience that you had with our gum. And for people who don't know what mastic is, it's the crystallized tree sap from mastic trees. And it's harvested once per year on one particular island in Greece called Chios. And the resinous sap falls to the ground. And from there, it cures for a few months to harden up. And then it's cleaned, sorted, and graded. And just like how the maple syrup you would come across in the grocery store comes in different grades, the Aunt Jemima slop is not the same as the grade A syrup that you would get from a sugar shack or a sugar bush in Vermont. So mastic tree sap is no different in that there are levels to it. And the stuff that you come across online is often going to be that D grade stuff, that powdery, that it doesn't have a nice consistency, you can't get a good chew. And so we sought out to only utilize that A grade stuff to make sure everybody has that same experience.
So do you live in Greece?
No, I don't. I'm actually based in Canada. We do travel there regularly. We work directly with our growers, and we are developing those relationships and trying to oversee the quality as much as possible.
So before we get into the benefits, and I want to talk about, you know, strengthening your jaw and all that first, and then we'll get to talk about some of the actual studies that have been done on mastic gum, and which are quite amazing, actually. So stay tuned and we'll dive into that. But when we look at the gum that you have two kinds. You have this one that is these little tiny, I mean, I don't know if you guys can see it, but these little gum, these little tiny balls, I mean, they're just the tiniest little ball. And then you have the bigger version, which you can definitely see. Some of these pieces are like this big, you know, that's a whopping piece of gum. And then they come even smaller like that. What's the difference between the big and the small, and what's preferred? Because I'll chew one right now and let people know. I tell you, when I first did this 2 years back, I put it in my mouth and I was chewing it for 3 hours. My jaw was so sore after those 3 hours, I couldn't believe it, but I was still chewing it. It was like, I couldn't stop chewing it. And that is not like any gum you've ever had. You just want to spit gum out generally pretty quickly. So tell us the difference between the small and the large. Sure.
So really the major difference, of course, is the amount of surface area. So because the larger nugget sized pieces have that increased surface area, they tend to be a tad softer in consistency compared to the smaller droplets. Once you get the gum formed and you're chewing, you know, the difference is not too noticeable. But what's nice about the smaller ones is you can really adjust the size of the gumball that you form, because you can just add one or two more pieces. Whereas with those nuggets, like you've shown, some of those are whoppers for sure.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine too. So I'm going to chew one. Should I just take like a medium-sized nugget from here? That'd be good. Mm-hmm. So when you chew it, it kind of breaks up quickly and then very quickly turns into gum. And that was what was different when some of the other gums that I got, which must have been grade D, C, or E or something. Because very quickly, this turns into gum. And when I first was so excited, I gave it to all my kids and they were like, "Dad, is this powder? This is terrible." And that's why I just was like, oh, this is such a different level.
It the other thing too, gum.
Yeah.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, you may come across pieces that are almost like glue, like because that's how sticky they are. And it becomes quite a challenge to get it removed from your teeth. So when you're buying from these less reputable purveyors, that's typically what you'll come across, either that dry powder consistency, or it's so sticky that you can't even get it off of your teeth.
Yeah, I never experienced that. And I have definitely experienced anything but, you know, just chomping right into yours within a couple. At first it crunches up and then very quickly turns into a gum. And then I just encourage everybody to try this and then see for yourself the difference in terms of the desire to keep chewing it and therefore get the benefit. When you actually chew this gum, you're actually releasing some of the sap into your mouth, into your digestive system. We're going to talk about some of the benefits, but probably the thing that got you involved is what got you involved and what gets a lot of people involved is just getting a more strong jawline. People like it cosmetically, but it's so much more than cosmetically. You know, chewing is something that we don't do anymore. I mean, if you have eggs for breakfast, you don't have to chew anything. You know, most of the food we eat these days doesn't require chewing compared to the amount of fiber that was involved with hunter-gatherers, like 100 grams per day. The average American gets about 15 to 20 grams of fiber per day if they're lucky. And fiber is what requires chewing. And now I think it's 90%. Is it 90 or 80? I took some notes here. Yeah, it's 90% of kids today have malocclusion. So what's happening because we don't chew is not only are kids having crooked teeth, but the facial development and the widening of the jaw is compromised. The airways become compromised, and they're actually having something called a devolution, where kids are now coming into this world and they don't actually develop wisdom teeth anymore. In other words, we used to have to have your wisdom teeth pulled, which makes no sense to me. But our whole structure of our face is devolving to a smaller jaw, a smaller face, smaller airways, and therefore less blood circulating into our brain, which causes all kinds of problems in terms of getting the blood oxygenation in and getting the brain lymphatic and the drainage of the waste out of the brain. So the chewing has a lot of benefits for that. And I'd love for you to kind of dive in and share more about what you know about just the benefits from facial development, airway opening, the strength of your jaw and all those benefits.
It's the old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. And unfortunately, with the way the vast majority of our foods are processed now, we're seeing the impact. If you look at, you know, when I went to school, a couple of kids in the class had braces. My wife's a teacher, and like every kid has braces now. You know, it's a side effect of the shrinking jaw, because we simply aren't spending that time chewing, and the foods that we are chewing are very soft. Like you mentioned, eggs, sure, but also smoothies, oatmeal, all that sort of stuff that doesn't really require the robust chewing that our ancestors would have gone through, eating foods like tubers and legumes and all those types of whole grains. So that's a visible side effect that we can see in real time. And there's also a book that I read by Weston Price, who studied agricultural pre-agricultural societies in the 20th century, and looked at their skulls and their dental records and what was going on in their mouth, and compared to what was happening in modern day society. And the difference was night and day. And we can directly correlate, you know, the proliferation of the industrialization of our world with the decline, not only in our oral health, but just visibly looking at people. Bones are, like you said, the de-evolution of our faces. And so the lack of chewing definitely plays a major role in that. And also, there is this vicious cycle that goes in, because when you chew, you are widening your airways, which allows you to efficiently breathe through your nose. But if you're not properly chewing and you are breathing through your mouth, then those airways will continue to shrink, making it that much harder for you to breathe through your nose. And so you're stuck being this lifelong mouth breather. And, you know, you can always make improvements and make those changes to be more conscious of your breathing and to do it through your nose. But the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. And, you know, if you're a kid and you don't have those habits ingrained in you, you've set them up for a rough life.
You know, it's great. The name of that book is called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And it's a phenomenal book that, you know, he had like over 15,000 photographs and differences between the dental alignment the jaw size, the width of the open of the airways, the size of the jaw, the whole facial development is so important. And you can have your palate actually changes when you don't chew. It becomes sort of V-shaped like this. And your palate should be sort of oval-shaped like that. So you can actually take your thumb and put it up in the top of your mouth. And if you feel that your palate is sort of pointed like that, it's, then you have what's called a V-shaped palate, which means you're not actually chewing enough, really, bottom line. And you haven't been chewing very, early on. But if it's got a nice round curve to it, it should be kind of a perfect fit for your tongue to sit up there, because that's where your tongue goes. It goes right up to the soft palate. So your palate should be as wide as your tongue is wide. And so you can kind of see, everybody can just get in there with their thumb and go, oh my gosh, I've got a V-shaped palate, or I've got a kind of a nice oval kind of palate, or a flat, really more of a flat palate up on the top. And that's important.
Good. Even deeper than just, the physical appearance, the importance of chewing. Like, a lot of people, when they think about digestion, they just think about what's happening in their stomach. But the second you take that first bite of whatever it is you're eating, that's when the digestion starts. And chewing, I mean, if you're mindlessly eating and you're just kind of letting the food glide down your mouth like a duck and not making sure you're adequately masticating and chewing each piece down, then you're not giving yourself the full nutrition, and you're not maximizing the absorption of those nutrients. Chewing allows you the saliva to come in, and the saliva provides additional enzymes that help break down your food. So there's this whole ecosystem going on in your mouth that chewing, of course, facilitates, but it also, it's going to make the whole process in your digestional tract be that much smoother and more efficient if you can really grind down that food as much as possible before you swallow it.
100%. When you think about, half the time we chew, we are, swallowing food that's in many cases partially whole. And if you actually, I always say that, there's always these rules about chewing. You should chew 50 times or all these things and put the fork down, all these kind of rules. And my rule is simple. Don't swallow until the taste of the food is gone. In other words, chew the food that you're eating until there's no taste left in it, and then swallow. That kind of makes good sense to me. And then you're masticating, you're producing enzyme amylase enzymes, and other digestive enzymes are actually being mixed in the saliva. You're actually creating what's called the food bolus in your mouth, which is kind of how we digest our food. And if you just dump that food into your stomach undigested, that just makes a whole lot more work for your stomach to digest it. And oftentimes it doesn't actually digest it completely. There's so many studies showing that when you have that if you don't digest your proteins and your fats, your gluten, your grains, your nuts, your seeds, your fats, even the detoxification of environmental pollutants, which are fat soluble, if you don't break those down properly, then they will go incompletely digested into your intestinal tract, and they will be too big to nourish you, and they'll go into the collecting ducts of your lymph. And that lymph is going to dump into that stores fat around your belly. It'll compromise the delivery of fat as energy into your body, and it'll also compromise your immune system, because your lymph carries your immune system. So most of the things that people have wrong with them today are because of incompletely broken down food that is too big to get into the blood and end up in the lymph. And then the lymph creates all these problems of swelling, holding on to water, tiredness, skin rashes, headaches, brain fog, extra weight in their body, all kinds of concerns, joint achiness. It's basically not able to get the trash out. And just like you said, having an inability to chew your food or a habit of not chewing your food, which is really what happens with most folks, it creates all kinds of problems within their digestive system. And then the mastic gum itself, which helps you chew, also provides certain constituents in the mastic gum that are unbelievably phenomenal for digestive strength. But before we go there, I want to stay in the nose breathing factor. I did a podcast with a woman named Sharon Moore, who wrote a book called Sleep Wrecked Kids. And she talked about how kids who don't chew, and she has like chewing toys for kids and ways to get them to start chewing, and how important it is for them for their cognitive and mental and emotional development, not just facial development. And all those sort of do tie together. You know, and if you are not a nose breather and you are forced to mouth breathe, my first book was Body, Mind, and Sport, a book about, we did research and published studies on nose breathing versus mouth breathing. And we found that when you nose breathe, your brain goes into an alpha state, a meditative state. When you mouth breathe, your brain waves go into an emergency fight or flight state. We found that the brain wave, when you were nose breathing, all the parts of the brain all were doing the same thing. There was coherence in the brain. Versus when the mouth was open, the brain was doing all kinds of scattered stress, run away from a bear kinds of things. We actually measured so many different things. We measured their perception of exertion when they were running versus mouth versus nose. And when they were running with their mouth open, their exertion was a 10 out of 10, you know, and worse than 10 being the worst you could feel. When they came back and did the same workout with their mouths closed, breathing through their nose, the same workout received a perceived exertion of 4 out of 10. The mouth breathers were breathing at 48 breaths per minute. Nose breathers, 14 breaths per minute for the same submaximal exercise. So, and I think the most important thing is we found that when people were exercising with their mouth open, as most people do, what happened was their fight or flight nervous system went to 100% and their parasympathetic nervous system zeroed out, which is the rest and rebuild and rejuvenate system. But when we had them breathe through their nose, their sympathetic system didn't go up 100%, it went up 50%. And the parasympathetic system didn't zero out, it went down 50%. So we had the two opposite nervous systems coexisting, which is, means, think of it like a hurricane. You have the winds of the storm and the calm together. That's that. And I wrote the book about and did research trying to reproduce the runner's high, the zone experience in athletics. And that's what we did and published studies on it. But the point of it is that it was all based on using this breathing apparatus. But if you don't chew, the airways are going to get smaller and you're going to not breathe through your nose the way you should. And definitely at night, you're going to find yourself with your mouth open. Your mouth's going to dry out. That produces opportunistic bacteria that can cause all kinds of problems in your mouth in terms of gum disease and letting bad bacteria like Streptococcus mutans, which is a bug that's produced in your mouth when your mouth dries out while you sleep at night. That's linked to plaque in your brain, and about 63% of the plaque in your heart is related to that bug that got into your heart arteries from your mouth. So the research on this is crazy, which is one of the reasons I got into mastic gum was from my research on nose breathing and facial development and all that. I'd love for you to comment on that if you can, or expand on that if you could.
Sure. Yeah. If anybody is skeptical on the benefits of breathing through your nose as opposed to your mouth, I recommend just taping your mouth shut one night while you sleep and compare how you feel when you wake up compared to how you would feel when you wake up on any other day. And I guarantee the difference will be immediately noticeable. You will wake up feeling more refreshed. You won't be groggy. You won't have that dry, gross feeling in your mouth. You won't be snoring. It really is just one of those things that has an immediate difference maker that right away, it's unquestionable. The air that goes into your nose is not the same air that goes into your lungs. When you breathe through your nose is, it's filtering, it's humidifying, and it's warming the air before it enters your lungs. And this helps to maintain proper levels of carbon dioxide. It also increases levels of nitric oxide in your blood. So it's just, if you are a mouth breather, I'm sorry to hear that. You can improve, but you really need to make an effort to breathe through your nose as much as possible.
Yeah.
And again, the best thing that you can do, aside from just always trying to breathe through your nose, is maintaining proper tongue posture, which you've spoken about earlier. So make sure that the tongue is resting on the roof of your mouth. Keep your mouth closed and breathe through your nose, and combine that with some hard chewing of mastic gum, and stick with that, and you'll be able to breathe through your nose.
Exactly. And also, just when you go for a walk or exercise, breathe through your nose. And what you can do for fun, and I've got articles on my website at lifespa.com about how to become a nose breather and how to get into the zone. It's based on my book, Body, Mind, and Sport. But you can absolutely learn how to do that. And I usually tell my patients, you know, be prepared to suffocate, because you're going to suffocate when you breathe through your nose for the first 2 or 3 weeks until this whole thing opens up. And it will open up. And for nose breathing at night, what I suggest is I use this stuff called NextCare. It's a tape for sensitive skin. It's dirt cheap. It's a blue color. I get it at the grocery store. And what I recommend that you do is you put it on your mouth like this first, where you can still talk through the sides of your mouth. And if you can do that without having the tape stuck to the ceiling when you wake up in the morning somewhere, and you can get a good seal that stays there all night long, then you can eventually go this way where you type the whole thing. And then when you get a good seal, then you've trained yourself to be a nose breather. You don't have to tape yourself for the rest of your life, but you do need to train yourself to be a nose breather. When I was doing research on nose breathing exercise years ago, and I was in India studying this, I found all these studies on parents who would like train their kids to lie on their side and tuck their chin and become nose breathers. There were infantries that were nose breathers versus mouth breathers, and the infantries that were nose breathers never got sick, according to these studies. And that would kind of launch me into writing the book, because I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, right? That was back in 86 that we wrote that. I did that original research. So tons of reasons for that. And the cool thing about chewing the mastic gum is that strengthens your jaw and it opens up your airway. So you have better circulation around your jaw and better airway, so you can actually become a nose breather way more efficiently. You know, and even here in Colorado, they did a study where they had kids taking their standardized testing, SAT tests, and the kids that chewed gum during the test had higher scores than the kids who didn't. And now they actually give gum to kids in Colorado when they're taking their standardized tests. So we're smarter, because the chewing actually pumps blood into our brain and gets the waste out more efficiently. Part of the pumping process of the brain, the lymphatic system, which sounds like 3 pounds of plaque out of your head every year while you sleep, is chewing. And if you don't do it, we get stagnant in the brain lymphatic system. And that can cause a host of health concerns, anxiety, depression, cognitive decline, inflammation, infection, and even autoimmunity has been linked to congestion of the brain lymphatic system. And chewing and nose breathing are two things you can do. There's many other things you can do as well. But that's like, I think that's great. Now we talked about from the neck up. Tell me what you know about the benefits of mastic gum from the neck down, digestion and other things that it's been shown to do.
Yeah, so the mastic resin has a unique composition of bioactive compounds that have antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties. So again, with digestion beginning at the mouth, when you're chewing this, you're releasing those antimicrobial properties, and they're targeting a wide range of bacteria and fungi that, you know, would ordinarily colonize in your gut. But with the regular and consistent chewing of mastic, that's no longer the case. And so this antimicrobial action is really effective against things like H. pylori, which is a bacterium, stomach ulcers, gastritis, all sorts of inflammation that occurs in the gut.
You know, because it's antimicrobial, when you chew it, you're actually, you know, constantly creating an environment in your mouth that supports the healthy proliferation of beneficial bacteria. And so oral hygiene, you know, in Ayurveda, which is what I, you know, ended up going to India and studying for, they're all about oral hygiene. You know, they do tongue scraping and they swish oil in their mouth and so many different things. And this gum is one of the things that you can do to protect your mouth from opportunistic bacteria, like the Streptococcus mutans I mentioned, which is really bad, or just volatile sulfur compounds that cause bad breath. That's all about bad bacteria producing waste products that are altered when you actually do things like chewing mastic gum. So that's just an amazing. And I saw one study that showed that it actually reversed H. pylori, which is an opportunistic bacteria in your stomach. Then it reduced it by 90%. That's a crazy number. I mean, the studies on mastic gum for heartburn are, you know, just, you know, off the charts. That was the thing that got me so excited when I first read the studies on mastic gum, was the research on heartburn, indigestion, and H. pylori.
Yeah, I that's something we hear regularly from customers who are just so grateful to finally have a natural remedy to heartburn and ulcers and things like that, where they've been suffering for years. They've tried everything and nothing seems to work. And then, you know, they may not even be aware that this was a benefit of the chewing mastic, but eventually they put two and two together and they realize, like, oh, this is alleviating my symptoms. And, you know, they're just so thrilled and they want to share that with everyone. And yeah, it's definitely, if you do suffer from that, you need to be chewing mastic, because it's such an easy way to soothe what's going on in your digestion system.
Yeah, there was a randomized double-blind study with 148 subjects with people with indigestion, dyspepsia, heartburn. And just 3 weeks after taking the mastic gum, they saw a significant reduction in their heartburn. In addition to that, their liver enzymes came down. And these folks, some of them also had non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and that was also reversed. And even one of the constituents in it, called the oleinolic acid and the gallic acid in the mastic gum, was shown to lower blood sugar, was shown to lower cholesterol, particularly LDL cholesterol, which is the one that is the independent risk factor for heart disease, and also reduce your ApoB, which is, most doctors don't test ApoB. They just give you like triglycerides, cholesterol, LDL, HDL, those basic ones. But the actual marker for your cardiovascular risk is something called ApoB, another lipoprotein. And studies show that the mastic gum also lowers the ApoB, which is like, you know, like a direct hit. And then also in this same study with the 148 subjects, they found that it actually reduced what's called LDL oxidation. You know, your fats oxidize. If you take a seed oil, or take a seed and you make seed oil out of it, as soon as you take the oil out of the inside of the seed, which is dark in there, and the light hits that, the fats will go rancid. So fats go rancid very easily in our body. And when the fats, the LDL lipoproteins oxidize or go rancid, they cause a lot of damage, and they end up getting stuck to the arterial wall, create what are called foam cells, and they create this whole degeneration of our arterial lining. And the mastic gum has been shown to actually protect those fats from becoming oxidized and also from attaching to the lining of the arterial wall. And when you start thinking about, and other studies show that it increases nitric oxide, which is the panacea molecule that protects the arterial lining from degeneration and damage. So, you know, the more I dug into the science behind this, Logan, you know, I was sort of blown away. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And you get, you know, this sort of like IV drip of this bend, all these constituents when you chew the gum. You don't have to swallow a pill. You just chew it. You're getting all kinds of benefits on so many levels, because so much starts right in your mouth. You know, your jaw, your brain function, your circulation, what drips into your mouth, what drips into your digestion. It's like a, you know, it's a cascade effect, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. Seemingly every month there's some new study that comes out, and it's like, oh, here's this new benefit that, you know, I had no idea about. And it's like, all right, great. Now we can try and leverage this and learn more about it. But yeah, it's just, it's nonstop. Are you familiar with the Lindy effect?
No.
Okay, so the idea is that the longer something has been around for, the more likely it is that it will continue to be around. So for example, the Bible, thousands of years, it's going to be around for thousands of more years compared to some book that you would see at an airport bookstore. And with mastic being chewed for literally thousands of years, you know, that tells you that there are some tangible benefits to it. and it's not just some trend or fad. There's a reason it stuck around for this long, right? So when you contrast that to other things in, I guess, the natural or holistic health space, I mean, these things come and go, but one thing that has remained steady is mastic. The only thing that's really changed is that now more and more people are becoming aware of the product, and it's never been more popular. So people are discovering it, they're reaping the benefits, and it's great to see the embrace, not just of chewing the gum itself, but, you know, everything that we really stand for as a company and all these things that we've talked about, right? Like the importance of chewing, the importance of nasal breathing, the importance of looking at what it is you're putting into the body and what kind of effects are going to come of that.
I don't, you know, it's so funny you say that. I didn't know anything about the Lindsay effect, but, you know, what I do for a living is write articles about ancient medical wisdom and modern science together. And that's what we do at lifespa.com. And when I first started doing it, I thought I'd write 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 articles and then be done. But I've got over 1,000 articles and videos that are all for free. And because there's just so much science in the medical journals, supporting ancient medical wisdom and practices that are around for thousands of years, still around today, but nobody kind of knows about them, mastic gum being one of them. And I think I wrote my first article on this, God, it must have been 5, 8 years ago. It was a long time ago I wrote that article. And you're right. Now, so the research on mastic gum, from what I heard about it right back then to what I was actually digging in last couple of days getting ready for this interview, I was like, oh my God, the research is blown up, you know? And that's because of people are actually becoming way more tuned into nose breathing, mouth breathing versus mouth breathing and all that. So I think it's, you know, when you think about science can prove whatever it wants, right? Just like you said, bro science might be sometimes in some cases better because you know in your heart, this happened to me, I'm feeling I'm going to do it. And it does. I can show you studies that shows coffee's good, coffee's bad, soy's good, soy's bad. Science alone is going to tell you what you kind of want to hear.
You can find a study to support whatever your belief is on either side.
Yeah. And that's why diet's so confusing. I should eat low fat, high fat, high carb, low fat, high protein, carnivore. I mean, you could go crazy looking at the science alone, which is why once you plug in ancient medical wisdom, what did people eat thousands of years ago? And then a lot of people distort what actually really happened to our hunter-gatherers because they did eat grains down thousands of years ago. They found gluten in the teeth of ancient humans 3.5 million years ago, way before humans, Homo sapiens, were even here. They found gluten there. They would harvest the barley and the wheat from the grasslands, and they would sit there and they'd a couple hours gather enough for a whole day to just eat some gruel. Now, when the seasons would change and there were grasses weren't being harvested, they're going to hunt, right? So it was a very seasonal way of living. And everybody says, oh, they just ate meat all the time. No, they didn't. They ate meat when they needed to eat meat. They dug up tubers when they were ripe. They ate grasses when they were ready to be harvested. And they ate everything in season. We were living connected to nature. And that's why I love Ayurveda, because it's a science of that. So I would just kind of, it was easy for me to look and say, oh, these are some really cool principles based on nature, and then just go find the science to prove it. But I think both really do make sense. You do have to have both. And mastic gum does that. It's got 2,500 years of practice and use, probably even longer, really. It's got an unbelievable amount of science. There was one study here I was looking at with irritable bowel disorder with 60 patients, and they took about they compared chewing mastic gum or taking mastic gum as a capsule to a placebo, and they saw a significant decrease in an enzyme called lysozyme, which is an enzyme that's linked directly to irritable bowel disease. They had a significant increase of quality of life. They saw increased nitric oxide and as well as lower inflammation in the bowel skin on the outside and in the mouth. So those are just, again, more studies to show that when you chew this gum, you're getting this IV drip of these amazing constituents that are going to protect you from bad bacteria and inflammation and provide a level of an environment for your body to heal. You know, when I, one more thing on this before I shut up, I know I'm just going on and on, but I love this stuff so much and I want people to know about the science too, you know. In Ayurveda, about 5,000 years ago, they wrote about bugs in your gut. They called them invisible animalcles, which are little tiny microbes that they couldn't see. And they knew they were good. They knew they could be good and they knew they could be bad. They said they could actually be harmful. And it was really important to practice hygiene, which they talked about, you know, many, many years ago as well. But they said, don't kill anything. Don't kill them. Just change the environment so the body can take care of itself and create a natural balance of the good and the bad. That's what we have inside of us. And that's what things like mastic gum do. It creates an antiseptic environment, an environment of anti-inflammation, so the good bugs can proliferate. The bad bugs are opportunistically unable to take advantage of an imbalance that we have in our culture from processed foods and things like that. And that's why I love it so much, is because we're not trying to kill anything. We're not trying to fix a symptom. We're just trying to restore function and balance that naturally takes care of the body for you.
You're going to have bacteria in your mouth and in your gut regardless. It's not a matter of getting rid of bacteria. It's a matter of nurturing the good bacteria and trying not to proliferate any of the bad bacteria. So yeah, it's creating that welcoming environment and encouraging that and trying to clean up any of the not so nice stuff that you wouldn't want in your mouth. Mastic is certainly effective at doing that.
Yeah. And even something, there was a study on Crohn's disease, which is one of the most challenging conditions to treat because there's severe inflammation of the gut. And they did a study with mastic gum for taking it for 4 weeks, and they saw a significant improvement in the symptoms of the Crohn's, as well as a significant reduction in inflammation marker called C-reactive protein, which was, you know, really quite amazing, and a regulation of the body's natural immune response, which is, that's an autoimmune response where the body kind of attacks itself. So, you know, the rubber meets the road inside your intestinal tract. And if that environment is altered, you're going to get opportunistic bacteria inflammation that cause the body's immune reaction to sometimes be overzealous. And that overzealous immune reaction, which takes place through the lymphatic system, can really set us up for a lot of chronic degenerative concerns that are unnecessary aging factors. So yeah, I love what you're doing. I'm still chewing this gum, and I gotta say that I love it. I mean, I just, you know, it's so different than what the stuff that I bought from, I think it was from Greece when I got it. It was there was a couple that I had bought, and I don't know. I'm just really happy that you did what you did and you actually sourced some really high quality stuff, because this is a real different, it's a game changer. It's such a different experience for folks. I think people, if they do it, they're going to get the benefit. They're going to like it. They're going to stay with it.
Thank you. I'm really happy to hear that. And it's something that we do here regularly. It's, you know, people can't, it's kind of, it becomes addictive. You know, if you have some kind of oral fixation, whether that's chewing tobacco or smoking cigarettes or vaping or anything like this, this is a great way to break those habits into something that's, of course, much more healthy for you. And it's like a fidget spinner for your mouth. You know, if you're always chewing on things, which you shouldn't be doing, don't chew on ice. You don't want to chew on hard stuff like that. This has the perfect texture where you can chew hard. You can really sink your teeth into it, especially compared to like a stick of Trident gum or whatever chewing gum you might find at a grocery store. You can't really get a good, you're certainly not chewing hard with those things. This has the ideal amount of resistance where it's challenging, but it's also very satisfying at the same time.
Yeah, I think that, I didn't realize that's a great angle for people who have to vape or smoke or whatever, you know, or constantly nibbling or snacking. You don't think about food when you have this in your mouth. You just don't think about it. You're just eating, chewing. And it's so weird. It can go on forever. You know, yeah, I've got the two of them, one of the big nuggets and one of the small ones. I recommend getting both. They're not expensive. They last, these tins have so much gum in there, it can last, I don't even know, a long, long time. And you can get these, there's a link below that we have, you can get the gum there, and Greco gum, right? That's what it's called. And you can find it, on your website. You can get the link for that is below, and go from there. Anything else you want to let us know more about the Greco gum? It's grecogum.com. You can get more of that as well. And the link for that would be below.
That's right. You can learn all about us and about Mastic and everything related to oral and gut health on our website. We have a blog up now. We're adding new content to that every week where we dive deep into the types of topics that we just talked about. So yeah, go to grecogum.com.
Cool, cool. Anything else you want to share with us, Logan, before we go?
I think we covered it, John.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody, you can also go to lifespot.com. I've got an article up on Mastic Gum that's been there for a while. I'm going to write a new one based on all this new science. So I'm going to kind of dive into that here real quick. And we'll point everybody to your gum because it's really it's a game changer. It's a completely different quality than what is out there on the marketplace. All right. Logan, thank you so much for what you're doing. It's great service, really, truly.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
All right. You bet. All right. Take care.
This recording is brought to you by LifeSpa, where ancient Ayurvedic wisdom meets modern science. Get access to free health video newsletters by Dr. John at lifespa.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.